just the other day I was reading BBC article in which it was speaking about the oldest man alive who just died. He happened to also be a veteran of the First World War, and he was 113 years old. And none of that is really significant here in the podcast or for us as devotees, but what struck me was that he was born in 1896, and when I saw the date, then it sort of struck me that that's Srila Prabhupada's birth date, and if Srila Prabhupada would still be with us, he would be 113 years old. And at some time in 1977, when Srila Prabhupada was already ailing, then there was some astrological prediction that Srila Prabhupada would get through this time in his life. He would live beyond 100 years old. 113, if Srila Prabhupada was physically with us now, that would be a real glorious and wonderful age. Anyway, of course, that's not what happened, and Srila Prabhupada isn't right now with us, but of course in spirit that's going on, as I mentioned the other day, with ISKCON also being in its 42nd year. Ultimately, we all have to leave this body, and certainly Srila Prabhupada showed us that that's something that we're all going to also have to do. We just can't stay here any longer within our allotted time. We may be great devotees, we may be Mahabhagavatas, but still, when it's time to go, it's time to go. Speaking about Srila Prabhupada, it was interesting. I was just listening to a lecture yesterday. Actually, it was a morning walk, and in Mayapur, and there was a discussion going on about how people react to our preaching. And Srila Prabhupada seemed to be on a very critical tract. Yeah, he was in a certain train of thought where he was putting down, as we would use the word, people in general. And Srila Prabhupada was even sort of critical, in a light word, of the value of preaching to people who he said, quote-unquote, have no brains. Anyway, the general train of Srila Prabhupada's thought was that for the most part, people are not intelligent. They're not intelligent enough to understand the most basic principle of Krishna consciousness, you're not this body. And even you argue with them on the platform of reason and logic, still, what will they come up with at the end? Well, yes, but. And they'll just continue on with their arguments, continue on with their nonsense lifestyle as before. It doesn't matter what you tell them. And so Prabhupada was saying, what's the use of detailed arguments or trying to convince them? Actually, their real business is to purify their hearts. Let them chant Hare Krishna. Let them take prasadam. And if they do that, then Prabhupada would say, this is our system. This will purify their hearts. And then they'll come to understand these things, or they will be able to understand them when they hear them in a qualified state. It's a topic that we've discussed also before, that people can only understand things according to their qualification, if they don't have qualification to understand something, then they're just hearing words, but they don't hear the real message that's behind those words. And so Prabhupada was very strongly speaking like that, that no matter how educated they are, people are very sinful. And because of their sinful nature, therefore, they can't really connect with transcendental knowledge, even its most rudimentary ABCs, when they hear it. So they need to be purified. So we should engage them in chanting Hare Krishna. And then, of course, that's what Prabhupada referred to as being Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's method, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's approach for general masses of people. He just chanted Hare Krishna, and for people who really had brains, like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Prakashananda Saraswati and Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, for them he engaged with them in argument and debate and quoted Shastra and cited logic and reason, because these people were able to actually cope with those things. But for the general mass of people who weren't at that level, he just chanted Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada said, yes, this is the essence. Let's just get everyone to chant. And that seemed to be very much Prabhupada's train of thought. Another point, yesterday we were having a little evening bhajans in the temple, and you can hear that on the bhajan kirtan, and spoke afterwards, and Sharad Bihari brought up this question. She was reading in Krishna book how Krishna did not become the emperor because the Yadus were cursed not to be rulers. And of course, I was speaking, I use that as an example to speak about how everything isn't always in one place in scripture. And the reason or the explanation of that is present in the ninth canto, where Maharaj Yayati, as you remember, he was a real sense enjoyer, and he wanted the youth of his sons in order to continue to enjoy life, to prolong his sense gratification. And he approached Yadu, his son, and Yadu refused. And then his other son, Puru, he gave him his youth. He then cursed Yadu that neither he nor his descendants would ever rule. And Krishna then followed that system because he was born in the family of the Yadus. So he didn't take the role of the king, but of course he continued on as a servant of Maharaj Agrasen, both in Mathura and in Dwarka, and then, of course, Maharaj Yudhisthira as the emperor. You could think that it was sort of would have been a really natural thing. Well, why doesn't Krishna become the emperor? Who else is more qualified than him, as in the case of Lord Ramachandra? But still, Uchideyuri meloka na kuryat karma chidham yadiracharati shishtas. So Krishna says, if I don't set the example, then other people also will not. So even though the curse was pronounced many, many ages prior to that, because Krishna followed in that line, therefore he accepted that he would not become the king. He accepted that curse. At the time when he'd killed Kamsa, Maharaj Rudrasen, he offered Krishna the throne, since he was the one who liberated the throne from Kamsa. But Krishna said, no, You're the king. You continue on. Not being interested in position. Krishna didn't need, of course, position in order to establish himself. He doesn't need it, but he didn't hang on to it. He did the right thing. Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, Kavitram, Ba, Jagadish, Shakamayi. Very often we also connect position with success, material success, spiritual success. Someone is a guru, a sannyasi, a GBC, or some other type of position, then we consider, oh, he's spiritually successful. Someone else is just pot washer, then we think, well, who is he? He hasn't really made the grade. Krishna shows us that, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says this as much. No, we shouldn't be attached to these type of material designations because they're not really indicative of spiritual success. On that note, on Friday, before I came to the farm, in fact, on the way to the farm, I went to visit a Catholic bishop. He's one of the 11 bishops of Hungary, not the archbishop, but he's a very, very nice man. I already visited him. He already came to visit us. And he just has a new posting. Aside from other things, he's in charge of the priests who deal or who minister to the soldiers in the army, both overseas and locally, both those who are in active service and those who are retired. And I asked him, well, how are things in this place? And he said, well, not so good from my predecessors. There's no church here, and the people that you're ministering to are very often really far flung. Either they're at a distance, you have to go at a distance to see them. Anyway, he was explaining some things, and he said even though it's a very respected position, but still the person before me, he says he ran off, he was 51 years old, he ran off with a 37-year-old woman, and the person before him, he became an alcoholic. So he was just making the point that the position isn't what counts, it's who you are that counts, or what you are that counts, not who in terms of position that you are. And we discussed that for some time. So nadanam najanam, well, you may have so many things, you may have some kind of position, but what are you really? Whether you may have thousands of disciples, you may have a danda, you may be a very learned Brahmin, but you may have so many such intelligence and so on, but what is the state of your heart? How much attachment have you really developed for Krishna? And I'll just close with what lecture I was listening to this morning, where Srila Prabhupada was talking about the inhabitants of Vrindavan, and he says, what will they learn? What is their education? They're village people. They're not scholars, but they love Krishna. Krishna is at the center of their lives, and therefore they're actually the greatest devotees, whereas so many other learned souls, they may study Shastra, they may know so many things, but if they don't know the purpose of all of that knowledge, then it's all wasted. Shrama eva hi kevalam, the Prabhupada said, therefore, Brijbasis, they are the topmost scholars, because they know the purpose of all scholarship. Hare Krishna.